From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Hello to you on this terrific Tuesday, 23rd day of February. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you to make a difference in our community. And in the studio with me, my co-host today and on most Tuesdays. In fact, he's in the studio today. Kind of getting some training because next Monday I'll be coming back from CPAC. I won't quite be back in time, and he is going to fill in for me. I've got Josh Michael in the studio. Good morning, Josh.
Hey, good morning, Stacy.
Thanks for having me. So glad to have you here, and I don't know how good I am at teaching you. You're more technical and probably get this easier, and this board and all this stuff more than I do, but we're going to work on the technical side so he can fill in for me on Monday. And in the studio as well with me today, I'm really excited about this, and we haven't had an update in a while, is our wonderful Salem Mayor, Chuck Bennett. Thank you, Chuck, for coming in this morning. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Stacy. Thank you very much.
Well, it's been a season since we've had you do an update with, you know, I think it was last, right before summer, before we went on some journeys. I was doing Sturgis Motorcycle Rally and all of that, and we've had a lot of things happen here. I mean, it has been a year. I'm almost at my one-year mark.
Yeah.
The 2nd of March, it'll be my 1 year on the radio here in Salem already.
Yes.
Yeah. And, man, we've had you in a few times, and we're talking about COVID, and we've had, you know, we've had so much with the economic downturn and then the fires, and now we've had this power outage.
Yeah.
And Terry and I are on day 11, no power, and we live in town. And so I thought, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I wonder what the mayor's doing about the power, as if, you know, you can flip the switch, right? So do you want to give us from the city's perspective, kind of the state of the state of where things are at, as you know it from PGE and the city crews cleaning up and stuff like that?
You bet. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for giving me a chance to talk about this a little bit. Let me start with a basic perception, I think, that's out among some parts of the community, is that the city runs the power company and the city does not.
Mm-hmm.
The power company is Portland General Electric, Salem Electric, West Salem, part of kind of close in downtown Salem, and mm-hmm. then PGE has the rest of the city. Salem Electric, I think just in part because of the scope of the problem mm-hmm. they ran into during the storm, was able to get back online pretty quickly. They were really quite efficient. They had help come in. PGE had a different problem because they cover so much of the state. Just to give you kind of a sense of what PGE was up against,
mm-hmm.
they had 700,000 customers
off the grid, in
yeah,
a sense. Yes.
Exactly. There were at various times changing numbers on that. But right now, as of last night, they still had 24,000 people not receiving power in the state. Here in Salem, it's down to 3,471 folks. And mm-hmm. If you're I waited 8 days.
Yes.
I got mine my power back on a Saturday evening. It had gone out the previous Friday evening. So, and I really sympathize with the situation,
mm-hmm.
the difficulty getting a shower, getting some light,
mm-hmm.
The cold house, all the rest of it. The big one for me often was the morning cup of coffee.
Me too.
You know, it's just, you've got
coffee.
Your morning ritual mm-hmm. and you want to follow it. Right now, there are 45 line crews working in Salem.
Mm-hmm.
What they've got with that 3,400, this is how they explained it, is these are more isolated or off the mark, or they have more serious problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have trees in the lines and all the rest of it. So, they've really been moving along. I think they're looking at this over the next few days, getting back. They've also been doing, with PGE, delivering batteries, pre-charged battery packs, for phones. They're distributing flyers on how on kind of what's going on in both Spanish and English. So I kind of concentrating on them because I think it's that's really where the power section of this will be resolved.
Right.
The other half of it was the impact on thousands of trees in this community. And people trying to clean up afterwards. The city has had 15 crews clearing streets, just clearing streets.
Right.
We have finally opened virtually every street, finally gotten all the traffic lights lit, and that's the stoplights.
Right.
Those, we still have one out.
Is that the one on 22 Mission over here?
Yeah, that's the one.
Coming off the interstate?
That's the one. We're working with, that's an ODOT light, and we're continuing to work with them to try to get that back on, because if you've tried going down Mission onto 22 or come off the freeway at that point, you know exactly what that problem looks like.
It's yes, I sure do.
heavy used area. So we're working with them. There are four sites the city has set up to allow you to drop off your debris for free.
Okay.
They're at Woodman Sea Park, Gear Park. Woodman Sea's sort of off Judson, Gears off State, if you know where Gear Park is down, sort of near the penitentiary. And then Cascade Gateway, not Cascade Gateway, I apologize, Wallace Marine Park, and McKay out here, just near where near the studio at McKay. Every once in a while, they'll fill up. They just end up with too much debris, and they might close one and move to another. But those are generally open. The debris is being taken courtesy of Marion County, which has been a tremendous partner in this, out to Browns Island Landfill. You can't drive out there yourself.
Right.
But
they're orchestrating that.
Yeah.
Through this, and that's good.
And they've got a free dumping area out there for this. So they're really trying to get this really taken care of as rapidly as possible. They've been one of the big challenges, too, is there are pump stations around the city that deal with our sewer system and water system. And some of them are older, and those that are older required generators to keep them going. So they've been running, crews have been running generators around to keep the various pump stations going. And it's a lot of work. I've received, I think, as many emails as I have on anything else, praising city crews for all the work they've done on this. I'm really proud to have been a part of that. Just to give you a sense of what's happened as of yesterday, there were 7,450 loads, I mean, we're talking dump truck loads, brought into site. That's 11,200 cubic yards of debris.
Incredible.
It's a huge amount, and we're just getting going. If you've driven by Bush Park, Inglewood Park, kind of down in the Inglewood neighborhood, most any of our parks, you'll see there's been some tremendous impact on those trees. And what will be and the street trees, of course. The city is responsible for those, as well as then people have personal trees. There is some confusion I've run into. People, some folks think the city is responsible for trees you have in your yard. They're not. They're not. They are not. Not helping you out if they can. If the debris gets mixed up, they'll. Take it away, but right now they're working their way through town, picking up street tree debris, which is generally being left on that kind of parking strip in across the sidewalk from your front yard.
Right.
You know, one of the, and really doing, I think, a bang up job. We've had tremendous support from them. The hospital has done a great deal of work in this as people face challenges. You lose electricity, and you're on oxygen using certain kinds of tanks and things. You really need electricity. People have been coming to the emergency room. I think the One of our counselors, Dr. Trevor Phillips, said they had, I think, 40 people virtually spending the night in the emergency room. So it's been an all hands on deck.
And that's a really good point, the oxygen, and also people that don't understand how they're trying to warm themselves, how dangerous it is with a carbon monoxide poisoning. And Josh, maybe you could come in with your technical skills in here. We've heard reports from the hospital emergency rooms that people don't understand that, you know, keeping a little propane type heater in their house, how that's toxic to them. And we think it's common sense, but people don't understand. Talk to us the problems with that, Josh.
Well, It's simple. I mean, you know, propane's not made to be in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got a propane fire inside your house, realize you have a chimney that most of the exhaust is going to ventilate out of. You know, you don't want to do that. You know, there's little tricks and quirks and things that you can do. You know, if you're cooped up, a lot of people are going and spending the night in their car and doing different things. But really, it's if you can get a generator, get your hands on a generator. If you have to stay home, if you absolutely don't have anything or resources like that at your house, the best option to do would be reach out to friends and family,
mm-hmm.
and see if you could accommodate. You know, it sounds like things are coming together pretty quickly. So you know, probably a few more days, it sounds like, for most people. And I know that those crews are working out and going from 700,000. People that are out versus where they're at now, which is exponentially lower.
Mm-hmm.
I know I was without power for a while. To be able to, you know, just make those accommodations, and yeah, it might not be fun right now, but, you know, the best thing to do is get warm, stay warm, and, you know, make sure that you're not putting yourself at risk.
Yes, and keep checking on your neighbors. You know, the area that we live in, even though we're under the 55 age limit, many older, elderly, fixed income, and our neighbor directly right beside us, her and her husband took their small pets and they went to a hotel. And even by our contract, we're to have renter's insurance to even be able to lease where we're at. And we pay this amount, $600-$700 for just renter's insurance a year. But under the renter's insurance, if there's a power outage and you can't stay there and you lose your food or you have to pay extra, it's not covered. So it's even making people go, okay, what kind of renter insurance do I have? And make sure that these things can be covered, because you're paying rent on somewhere you can't stay. And they have like $1,800 in expenses with staying in a hotel and losing their food and all of that. Fortunately for us, we've only had to stay 3 or 4 nights in our place, and we've had friends step up and where we can shower and stuff. So these are burdens that how do you plan for that? You just don't think, you know,
right,
on what to do. And it's severe. It seems like another insult to injury.
Yep.
When we've had such a tough year already. And that's why we are all here today. We're going to solve all the problems of the world today. At least we're going to talk about it and bring some solutions to the table and network with one another. We're so glad you're tuning in this morning. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We've got Josh and Mayor Bennett and myself hanging out today. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. 38 degrees right now here in the KSLM studio. And right now, it was fun when I went and opened up the studio doors for our guest today. There was sun peeking out, and that sure was really nice. And we've got some pets in the background. Obviously, someone's brought their dog to work today. So you do hear some barking in the background. That's kind of fun. But we are here in the studio talking about what's happening, kind of the state of the state. And first and foremost, I want to say thanks to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, for being a morning show sponsor. If you're interested in finding out about, especially, man, with all this stuff going on, making sure you have the right kind of insurance, renter's insurance, home insurance, business insurance, and I think he even sells pet insurance. You can get a hold of Bill, sunderlandagency.com, or give him a call, 503-885-0789. And we have delighted to have Mayor Chuck Bennett in the studio and Josh Michael with me. And Mayor, you know, Since you were here, it's been a few months. Certainly before the election, you were here. Now there's an election. You have some new folks on the city council, and you guys are working together, really facing some difficult things. This has been a challenging year. And I want to remind folks, your position is a volunteer position, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's often confused that somehow I'm making a pretty substantial salary. That would be a wrong assumption. Mm-hmm. It's the salary zero. And I do have a parking spot mm-hmm. at City Hall.
Okay.
But other than that, it's a volunteer position. You do this kind of work because you really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And what excited me was I've got really four brand new people now on the city council. Four people in the community stepped up mm-hmm. and ran for the city council.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really interesting group. There are in the group three women.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had that many women on the council in years that I can think of. It's been, although we've had women mayors, my two predecessors, Janet Taylor and Anna Peterson. But now we have some counselors, and they're younger,
mm-hmm.
Younger women, women with small children. One's an attorney in the Attorney General's office.
Mm-hmm.
Another stay-at-home mom with small
Good.
Kids. And then another is a woman of color who brings a really interesting perspective on mm-hmm. Looking at city services and mm-hmm. city policies. And finally, an emergency room physician, which is a really interesting mm-hmm. new perspective. So it really, I think, changes kind of the way the council will look at issues, but it will add to, I think, the richness of it. I think it'll be, I think there'll be good councilor members. We have a council that is far more liberal than when I came on to the city council, whatever it's been now, 12 years
mm-hmm.
ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes kind of the dynamic as well. It's a really progressive city council. And I think as folks watch it, it will be a mixed bag. I expect people to have strong feelings as the council talks about climate change, looks at our police department and its future configuration and what it's up to. We're redoing the city's comprehensive plan after almost between 40 or 50 years.
Is that another word for building the bridge?
No.
Because that's something I keep hearing.
The bridge is gone.
Okay.
No, the voters have elected people opposed to the bridge.
Okay.
Yeah, that was their decision. I personally think that was a mistake. I think we should be building a bridge,
mm-hmm.
but life goes on. And but I think as we look at the comprehensive plan, that's kind of zoning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many houses in a how many residences can be in a neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
How big is a city lot going to be? Where
mm-hmm.
will residences be? Where will commercial be? What's our transportation system look like? Will we have more streets, better streets for cars, or will we start giving up part of our asphalt for walking and bicycling?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those kinds. And it's going to be a really good discussion, I think. I hope people pay attention, because what they'll do is wake up in about 5 years going, well, what was that?
Right.
And don't let that happen to you. It'll change your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And
Josh,
I think that's really important for people to get involved and go to these city council meetings. When are they planning on opening back up to where people can participate? I mean, what's the plan for that? Because I know a lot of people that are really interested in getting more involved, which is why you have a heavy turnaround and you got these new city council members. I think it's a symptom of how the climate's feeling here, and most Oregonians are feeling unheard and misrepresented and everything else. And so I think this is the beginning of a huge wave that's
mm-hmm.
coming, and people, they want to be involved. They want to get there. Sitting in a virtual meeting where their voices can't be heard or they can't really feel like they're participating isn't really quite meeting the need. And yeah. I think it's fermenting a sense of frustration with a lot of people. So as far as that goes, what's kind of the plan? You know, where do you see things going? I know cases are dropping and the hysteria of the coronavirus is kind of becoming, you know, in the wayside. People are more concerned with power and getting kind of back to normal and back to life. You know, there's been a huge economic impact here locally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know of a handful of businesses just that are never going to open again. You know, and as you were speaking earlier about Albany kind of being open up and you can go into restaurants and things like that. Who's in charge of that and how do we kind of get that back to normal to where we're opening again and getting all these businesses back? We got to get everything back open.
And Josh, your questions are good, and we're going to give Merrick a couple minutes to think about it because okay. We're going to go into a break here. But he is spot on because I think what I hear mostly when I talk to citizens and fellow neighbors is like, when can we get back and when can we get involved? I no longer will sit on the sidelines. I need to be a part of the process, and I think we can lay that out for our listeners in ways that they can get involved, and we're excited to hear from you when you get back. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. I want to remind folks that there's opportunities for you to get engaged in community involvement on our calendar. In fact, 40 Days for Life right now, there you have a program going on, 40daysforlife.com/Salem. There's also a wonderful citizenship class going on at People's Church. It's biblically based where you can learn why it's important as a citizen to get involved. That's at 11:30 on Sundays. You can find out more at patriotacademy.com. And then coming up, and I'm going to ask the mayor about this too. I want you to tell us about March 3rd, Breakfast with the Chief.
Yeah.
That coming up as well. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this wonderful Tuesday and every day. We'll be back.
Hey, yeah, you. Hello, good morning. How you doing?
It's a good morning.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Enjoying a terrific Tuesday with you. Thank you for tuning in today. 38 degrees here at the KSLM studio. Going to jump up to 48 today for our high temperature. And we're in a recovery area right now here in Salem. And it's good to have Mayor Chuck Bennett and also Joshua Michael in the studio as we continue to kind of figure out and get through what we're getting through right now in recovery. The good news is I saw, Mayor, that the county, Danielle Bethel, she is on the commissioner, and she put out yet last night kind of a teaser that today that they got word that Marion County will go from an extreme high to just high risk.
Yeah.
And so that transitions some things. And I know, Josh, you asked some questions at the end of last segment, and I'm going to let you go ahead and start addressing some of that because I think a lot of people want to know, how can they participate? How can they show up in person? How can they, you know, what can we do to get back to having businesses prosper in this area? So go ahead and help us with this.
You bet. Well, first, I'm really glad Danielle put that out. That allows the governor to really pull off some of the limitations we've had, like you cannot go into a restaurant to eat under any circumstance, and the result is what we've seen downtown, which are the tents and all, which is kind of fun, but that's not the way most of us want to go have a meal.
Right.
So that'll really change the ability to get into other kinds of businesses. But I don't think we can underestimate what this has done to individual business owners that have been hit so hard by this, by the pandemic. And then more than actually the COVID has been the response to the
COVID.
Oh, yeah.
The kind of limitations that have been imposed, the approach that's been taken since the remember the kind of level the curve?
Yeah, 2 weeks
flatten
to
the curve.
Flatten the
yeah,
curve.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Yep, we talk about that all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, we did flatten the curve. Mm-hmm. We did. I think last time I talked to the hospital, which was this past week, they had, I think it was like four or five people in the ICU.
That's it. 111 yesterday, 111 in the whole state of new and prospective cases.
Yeah, it's really turning around. Mm-hmm. I think people's concern now is, when can I get out there and get a shot if mm-hmm. they want to have one?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we are going to start seeing this because of the way the numbers are going. I'm very hopeful that mm-hmm. we'll see this moving forward. We certainly are supportive of anything that reopens businesses
yes.
in this community, and particularly the ones hit are the restaurants.
Yep.
The restaurants and the gyms have been just absolutely beat up on this thing. We have done everything we could to help businesses, and you'll see at these tents that you see mm-hmm. in front of a mm-hmm. restaurant or bar, we've helped them with those financially. We've created space for them,
mm-hmm.
Created changes, emergency changes in ordinances that allowed them to take some of the parking spaces and
yeah.
do that. We have also given restaurants and other businesses grants, loans. And we think we have saved a number of them.
That's good.
But it's been really close.
Talking with some of these businesses that I've talked to, some of the things that have been interesting for me is the fact that, you know, that they've been closed a big part of last year.
Yeah.
And now they're renewing, like they have to repay their license fees and things to stay in business. And so some of my suggestion is, and I don't know how much is this a city or county or state regulation stuff, but those practical ways to remove those barriers or give some kind of
incentive
or reduction, you know, those are practical ways that can help some of these businesses. It's like, really, are you kidding me?
Yep.
I have to pay these fees, and yet I have been closed, you know, and those kinds of things that are practical ways. These are some things I've heard from grassroots folks,
and,
you know.
And if you want to get people downtown again, you know, maybe release some of the 3-hour limitations and, mm-hmm. you know, different parking things. I know you guys kind of went back and forth, and there were some upsides and downsides to that. You know, there were people taking advantage of just parking their cars downtown all day mm-hmm. when they didn't have any restrictions. And so it wasn't creating that movement. The 3-hour window was a great kind of compromise. But, you know, incentivizing businesses to say, hey, we want you to open. We're going to encourage this. We want to do this. You know, starting that conversation with your new city council might be great.
Mm-hmm. We do that, actually.
I
appreciate your comments, because you're describing exactly
that's
what we're
awesome.
Doing.
Exactly. And that's important that we're talking about it here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's why it's so dynamic downtown right now.
Yeah.
If you drive downtown
it's kind of
there's people all over the place.
Yeah,
I mean, this idea that in any way our downtown still isn't a really dynamic area, but we've got problems.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen retail business in the country change.
Yes.
And the results, no Nordstrom's, no Penny's.
Christopher and Banks is going out. I was there at the Salem Center yesterday. I was saddened by that.
The Salem Center,
Salem Center is
being challenged. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to a number of, including some former mayors that have talked to me about this. They're mm-hmm. very concerned. These are things they worked on. What I'm reminding them is it's been almost 50 years since we had malls really moving in
mm-hmm.
and moving into Salem, mm-hmm. Lancaster Mall moving in mm-hmm. and all that. The result was we changed downtown.
Yes.
And what we're going to have to do in response to what is a full-on mm-hmm. change in retailing strategy, we're going to have to again change downtown
yes.
and how it works. And what we're seeing is real interest in housing. A lot of people want to live downtown.
Mm-hmm.
In mixed use, where you have retail on the ground floor, housing upstairs,
mm-hmm.
We've got a great deal of construction underway or planned. We have tremendous interest in the Penny's building. As a mixed-use site.
Good.
Union Gospel Mission is moving out, and the city owns that mm-hmm. block where Union, or a half a block where Union Gospel was, will be clearing that for redevelopment.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll see kind of a new and different downtown over the next couple of years.
Well, you know, it's interesting, having moved from South Dakota, Rapid City, South Dakota, they did something like that over the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
They had a class called Leadership Rapid City, which is through the Chamber,
uh-huh.
and they had a class us come up with an idea of making Rapid City downtown a destination.
Yep.
Now, not unlike what's going on with the Rotary stage and the stuff going on at the park, but
Right. This,
they created a place, a destination in the middle of downtown, and they had where one night a week where everybody came downtown
Yeah. And
had a community night, and they had bands in the summer, and they called it Summer Nights, you know,
Yep. And
really, and so it's a park in the summer and an ice skating rink in the winter, and they have all kinds of things going on, but it was a community group coming together alongside of the city,
mm-hmm.
along with the chamber, really pulling together what can we do to make it a friendly place to start businesses. And now you can't hardly get space downtown there. And it's cleaned up,
Yep.
the you know, all of that. So I think there's opportunities.
Oh, there is. And that's really where we're headed,
mm-hmm.
Is following that kind of model. And our investment in Riverfront Park has continued to be
A
tremendous success.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a Jerry Frank Amphitheater.
Yes.
Is going to be something else,
mm-hmm.
As in terms of a destination. So that's, and you also asked me about
mm-hmm.
participating in city council.
Yes, and help us with that.
Well, the city hall's closed.
Right.
We have been closed for a long time, although everything's open. You can call in.
Mm-hmm.
You can stop by.
Mm-hmm.
I have people stop by my office fairly regularly down there. All the services are there,
mm-hmm.
and are going on. I think the question for us is going to be, when are people ready
mm-hmm.
to start congregating? When can we have our city council chambers available to the public? Right now, you can't have a
yep.
meeting like that. You're not under the governor's restrictions.
I think we're ready right
well,
now.
Well, the question is that when
you
people...
You can think that, but you've got to get the governor to think
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. So it's not so much... I think the
well,
people
the governor's
are
never
ready.
Gonna think that.
It's more the government. When are they going to allow the people? And,
yeah.
And it's been interesting because there's been a lot of movement going on, or people getting really up to speed on the Oregon Constitution
mm-hmm.
and the U.S. Constitution and the right to assemble. You know, people are really saying, okay, we want to participate. Like I said, it's like the lack of not being able to has almost increased the wanting and the desire. Like, I've been asleep too long. Now I want to be more engaged.
Yeah. Well, we have been very open to demonstrations. We
mm-hmm.
have not stopped anyone.
Right.
Having demonstrations. We're not
mm-hmm.
doing permits. We want to remind people you don't want to do super spreader events, but it's their right to congregate, church, to go to church, all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
The city has been using Zoom as its platform
mm-hmm.
for city council. We've had some pretty large public participation
mm-hmm.
Events, public discussions on those on Zoom.
But when you don't have electricity
no,
or
you can't
access
play.
To
that's
you can't.
Exactly
and
right.
that's been my challenge the last few weeks.
Oh,
people
yeah.
have said, oh my goodness, how am I supposed to do this? And you normally, if you have electricity out in your neighborhood or you're having problems at your house, you could go to the library, right? And
right.
access it. I mean, even we've talked about this, people staying warm. You could, if you can't cook at home because of whatever, you can go to sit down in a restaurant. You
that's
can't
right.
even do that. But
that's
but
right.
we are getting so brave and bold and creative on how to connect with one another and how to stay involved. I think we're going to see when things start opening up, you're going to see a higher level of participation. Now, how can people get engaged? What can they do?
Well, they can become a member of a board or commission. That's
mm-hmm.
our standard response.
Mm-hmm.
Please become a volunteer
mm-hmm.
involved with the city. We have thousands of volunteer hours and hundreds of volunteers involved in city services. Right now, just the cleanup.
Yes.
There's a tremendous opportunity if you want to get out and be around mm-hmm. some people to help clean up. Contact our Public Works Department,
good.
Our Parks Department, and they'll give you some ideas on where you can
mm-hmm.
go and assist people. Look around your neighborhood.
Yes.
If you haven't gone to a neighborhood meeting or participated in a neighborhood meeting,
mm-hmm.
you might want to try that.
Yeah.
that is a great way to get involved in government in the city.
Well, so. And I always say your local government, the government closest to you, we need to be engaged because they have the most impact on your day-to-day life. And so you've really opened up some ideas, and it's a great discussion we're having this morning. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, Josh Michael, Mayor Chuck Bennett, and I hanging out today. And we're going to do something fun when we come back. Josh and I are going to switch places. This will be fun, preparing him for taking over when I'm gone this next week. We'll be back.
Oh, goody. And we are back here. Good morning, Salem. Finishing up the hour here with Mayor Chuck Bennett. I'm the co-host sitting here with Stacey Ann. My name is Joshua Michael.
All right. Good morning, Josh. Woo, this is a fun morning for sure. He's on the board. We're trying this out. He's going to be trained up because, friends, I get to go to CPAC. I'm so excited about this. Something that I've known about for many, many years, and I have had friends throughout the years, different states going to CPAC, and they are, it's an incredible slate of federally elected leaders, both in the House and the Senate. And of course, we just found out that President Trump on Sunday is supposed to address the crowd. And so I will be broadcasting. I got a pass and I'll be on media roll. And so I'll be broadcasting our show live Thursday and Friday. So the 8 a.m. time, which is, I think, 11 o'clock. In the morning there, I'll be broadcasting. Plus, I'll be doing some updates on Facebook Live. I'll be doing as much as I can, blogging and getting information, getting interviews with people, grabbing that audio to bring back to you and to play and to insert. So this is, I appreciate your prayers and the travel and the time there. And I'm a true greenhorn. So this will be a really out of my comfort zone, but also exciting to bring that information back to you all. And I appreciate Josh filling in. I'll be traveling back on Monday during the time that the show is. So Josh is going to go ahead and do the show for me. So on Monday,
yay.
Thank you so much. So we're continuing the conversation with Chuck Bennett, Mayor Chuck Bennett. And we're so glad that you're here today. And we kind of talked a little bit about ways we can get involved and be a part of the solution and all the stuff going on. Talked about local government and how that's important. Talk to us about what you're doing. I know the city has been very helpful. I have a particular friend. She has a little boutique downtown. There's days and days no one comes in. I mean, that's huge for her. That she's even been able to stay open during this time. But she got a little grant from the city. She applied, and I really encouraged her. And I think she applied again for another one. And that's helping her sustain through this difficult time because you have expenses. You still have to pay your parking, you know, your parking spot fees in front of your little store and things like that. I mean, there's things that you have to, your light bill, your rent, you know, and but she's also had some good days, you know, here and there, just not as many in a row. So what can businesses do? What kind of opportunities are there for them?
Well, there is a tremendous list of grants, loans, and opportunities that are through our Urban Development Department. Mm-hmm. I hope people will, those folks in business that are interested, the Urban Development Department is really the place to go, and they've got a whole range of business assistance programs in place, and we keep adding them. And as things develop, we keep looking for ways as a council and I think as a city to add to the services available, because we really do understand what a problem this is. Mm-hmm. If you see, and it's not just the business side, there's also a whole batch of nonprofits in the community that are having similar kinds of problems. And we're working with them with grants as well.
Well, so, that's great to hear, because usually, you know, every year each nonprofit has big fundraisers and gathering. You have to be together. You have to, I always call it the rubber chicken dinner. you know, where they give their pitch and they get their monthly support, you know, and they've had to be real creative too. So I'm glad to hear that. And yet the need hasn't gone away.
No, the
it's
need
only
in
increased.
Has gone up.
Right.
Exactly. So we're, as I said, we're doing that and trying to make sure the public understands. Mm-hmm. That make contact with us. And if you can't figure out who to call, just call my office. Mm-hmm. At
588-6255. Don't call yourself that often, do you?
588-6255, and we'll help you navigate. Mm-hmm. City Hall and figure out where to go. That can sometimes be difficult. But the city has, I think, a really robust web page. We mm-hmm. have very active Facebook and other social media involvement. And a lot of people don't participate in that stuff. And I'm always kind of surprised. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, well, how come you didn't do this? We didn't hear from you. We didn't know you didn't like this or that you wanted this. So.
Yeah, we call those people sideliners, you know. they like to sit on the sidelines and complain about, you know, different things that they don't get, but they don't ever participate.
Right.
Yeah, you really got to.
Yeah, it's really good that you're here and you're kind of giving some guidance and direction to people that maybe, you know, they're on the fence or they want to get involved and they just mm-hmm. don't know how. And it's really nice to have some resources for that. So.
Well, I'll tell you, the people who get the most attention, and you can watch City, watch the news, watch, are the people who show up.
Yeah.
And I notice that well-organized groups show up, and they show up in force.
Mm-hmm.
They have a strong message. It's coordinated, and I think people often overlook the opportunity, whether it's online or coming to city council meetings. We, more nights than I hate to mention over the past dozen years, we've sat alone in that city council chambers.
Yep.
And passed really important stuff, and nobody showed up.
Yep.
Well, I think those days may be coming to a rest. And here's something that I recently heard and I love. If you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So you need to participate.
Certainly a good way to put it.
It's your government.
And there's lots of things that can put you on the menu that will be discussed mm-hmm. over the next year at the city council. You know, not the least of which is our police department, what we're doing on homeless mm-hmm. issues, which, by the way, I get a lot of complaints about certain areas of town. I want to tell you, some of the worst spots we see are areas owned by the state of Oregon. The one that's constantly brought up is Market Street.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Market Street, that's the state of Oregon.
So yep.
We have no control over that. We continue to talk to them about, will you let us, you know, go in and clean it up?
What do they say?
Sometimes they say yes.
Okay.
It's ODOT.
Okay.
And anytime you see a big overpass on one of those, our bridges downtown, mm-hmm. people under there, that's owned by the state of Oregon, and they have pretty much set up a rule. We're not going to disturb people during the COVID crisis. They can pretty much stay there. That doesn't mean we don't have our own problem areas mm-hmm. in Wallace Marine and Cascade Gateway.
So
we've had to come to grips with.
That does bring an interesting point, you know, with the homelessness and things going on in relation to COVID. You know, a lot of people speculate and talk about that there hasn't been a big epidemic or pandemic with the homelessness.
Yeah.
They're not social distancing. They're not sanitizing. They're not, you know, doing all of the things that we're instructed to do, that all us good citizens do, that all these businesses are doing. Yet there's no big pandemic happening with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're thriving, it seems, as and it's expanding and becoming a bigger problem. You know, how do you navigate that? And it kind of correlates with some of the misinformation that we get as far as relating to the practices that we're doing that's essentially affecting all of these businesses.
Yeah, yeah. That's accurate. I mean, it's just quite, you know, and thank God they didn't get sick.
Right.
Because they're stuck outdoors.
Exactly.
They have no health care. They have, you know, when you add it all up, if mm-hmm. the pandemic had hit them, we worked really hard to try to move really packed areas of homeless people out into more dispersed opportunities. Why that's occurring, I think, is anyone's guess.
Yeah.
But trust me, they've got their own pandemics of drug and alcohol.
Absolutely.
And right.
Other kinds of abuse.
Well, thanks, Mr. Bennett. We really appreciate you.
Yes.
Thanks, Stacey Ann.
Thank you, Josh, for being a part of today. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Tomorrow morning, we'll have Suzanne Gallagher here. She's going to be at CPAC, too. So be tuning in tomorrow. Parents' Rights and Education. Thank you, Mayor, for a wonderful morning.
Really
have a great day,
it.
Listeners. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you.
Because there ain't no doubt.